Okay, tonight we're going to say over a case that happened a couple hundred years ago, and it's going to be like a forerunner to cases we're going to talk about in the future about patent law and copyrights, trademarks. That's not what we're going to talk about tonight, but tonight's case, I think, is a good hagdama to those other issues. So this is a real case that happened in the times of the Navi Yehuda. Reuven hired Shimon to print his sefer. Now, Reuven's sefer was interesting. It was a pirish on Seder Nezikin and Seder Kodshim on Shas. And he hired Shimon to print a Shas that had Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Reuven. Right? Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos on top and pirish Reuven on the bottom. That's the way he wanted it. So Shimon did a good job. He printed Reuven's Svarim. He gave Reuven the finished product as ordered. But then Shimon said, "See, you know, let's just remember that in those days when they typeset, it wasn't like nowadays you put it on the computer and it's, you know, just Xerox it. It was painstaking. You would have, the normal way to do it was that they would have letters and they would put them in plates and they would make one plate and print it. And then they would take the letters apart and do another plate. It was plate by plate. You didn't have so many letters. In English, that's where lowercase and uppercase comes from. Right? The capital letters they put in the uppercase, then the non-capital letters they put in the lowercase, and that's how they would take from the uppercase or the lowercase. But so in Lashon HaKodesh, they did the same thing. They had the letters, and they would put them on the plate, and then everything. Shimon was a very big printer, and he had a lot of letters. He had a good collection of letters, and he decided that he would keep all the plates intact. So he had all the plates intact from all of Seder Nezikin and Seder Kodshim with Reuven's Pirish on it. When he was finished, he had all the plates. Now, he thought like this. He's certainly not allowed to use Reuven's Pirish. That's Reuven's Pirish. That's what we're going to have to talk about in the future. But he figured, look, I have a nice shas here. Let me take off the letters of Reuven's Pirish. I'll just take off all those letters. And what I'm left with is Gemara Rashi Tosfos and Seder Nezikin and Seder Kodshim. And I'll print the shas. Now Reuven didn't like that. Reuven said, look, I paid you to make the Gemara Rashi Tosfos and my Pirish on the bottom. All right, Pirish Reuven. And you're now using my efforts for your own personal gain. Right, so the Reuven came to the notary, the one who was representing Reuven came to the notary of Yehuda and said, there should be an iser in benefiting from someone else's efforts. From someone else, you're being nene mimaisa chaveiro. That's tonight's topic. Is it permitted to get benefit from Maisa Chaveira, from someone else's actions? Okay, let me tell you the two possibilities that Nodav Yehuda talks about. One possibility is that Reuven told Shimon, I want you to print my Pirish. And Shimon said it's going to cost $10,000. And Reuven agrees, he gave him $10,000, and it was finished. So in that case, the Nodav Yehuda says there's nothing to talk about, and this, I think, is Pashit, that Shimon can certainly do whatever he wants, because Reuven says, even whatever Sfar we're going to say, Reuven says, you're getting benefit from my Siyadayim. Shimon can say, that's why he gave it to you for so cheap, because I gave you $10,000 knowing that I was going to use it in the future. Otherwise, if you wanted exclusive rights, I would have charged you $20,000. Right? So the note of you is, we're not talking about that case tonight. If you hire the person, I think this is Josh's case, you hire the person to make this report for you, and he gives you a price, and you don't make any exclusive contracts on it, so you're paying him for doing that report, and he'll say, I gave you the cheaper price because I could use it elsewhere. The topic tonight, the Nota Behuda Shaila, is where Reuven came to Shimon, and Shimon said, okay, it's like this. It's going to cost $2,000 for the typesetters. It's going to cost $2,000 for the paper. It's going to cost this amount for the labor, for the transportation. And the whole bottom line is $10,000. So in that case, the Nota Behuda says, we do have something to talk about, because in this case, Shimon is using Reuven's workers. Reuven hired the typesetters, right? Shimon's not the typesetter. He gives it out to typesetters. So it was Reuven who had hired the typesetters, and Shimon is now using Reuven's work of the typesetters for his own personal gain. That's the shayla that we have to talk about. Okay, so there are two gemaras that make this a shayla, make it a shir. And these are the two gemaras, the Shoel as the note of Yehuda. The first gemara is Bav Metzia, Tav Kuf Ches Amar Aleph. The gemara has a case, there were five gardens on a hill, and the stream at the top of the hill was damaged, it wouldn't work. And there's no water for any of the gardens. So the gemara says, Chamish Ganos HaMestapkos Mimayim Mayim Mimayinach, one of the five gardens getting supplied from water from one stream. Viniskalkal HaMayin, and the stream got damaged. Kulam Estapnes Imaho El Yono. All of them have to share in the repairs with the top one. Nimses HaTachtonim Estalkenes Im Kulam. Same thing if it's the fourth one. From the fourth one down it got damaged. So the bottom one is always going to have to share in the repair. And even if it happened by itself, it just at the bottom one is going to have to pay for the repairs by himself. He always has the lower hand. So the Shoel said, from this you see, the bottom one, even though the top one has to fix the stream for himself, for his own use, the bottom one has to share in those costs. He has to share in the expense of fixing it, because we don't want to have free benefit from someone else's efforts. That's the first raya. The second raya the Shoel brought was from Bava Kama. The Gemara has a shayla, the Gemara shayla of Zen Nene Vezel El Chaser. The Gemara has a shayla, if I have a house that is vacant, and you need a house to live in for a little while, and you live there, so you had pleasure, but it didn't cost me anything because I didn't have any tenants then anyway. If it was Zen Nene Vezel El Chaser, the Gemara has a shayla, does the person who had the Hana have to pay? So the Gemara goes back and forth. The Gemara wants to bring a raya from the Mishnah in Bava Basra. The Gemara says, you have a field in the middle, and you have a person who owns three fields on all three sides. So the Mishnah says, if someone, the outer person, put a fence around his property and the others on three sides, so we don't make the fourth one chayiv to pay anything. But if the Tana Kama holds, if the first one made a fence around all four sides, so then we do arm a chayiv, the first one to pay. The second one, the one in the middle, to pay because he got benefit. So Mara wants to bring a raya, Shmamina Zen Nenem Zelo Chaser Chayiv. The Gemara answers, no, there it's different. There's a chaser. Shani Hasan Darmali Akarantali Akefi Yisera. You made me put that extra fence in between. Without you, I could have just put one around the periphery. Because you're in the middle, I had to put an extra fence. The Gemara then brings a raya from the other man, Damer, Tashma, and this is the way we pass it. Amar Rav Yossi, or Yossi said, Im Amad Niket, the Gadar as Haravis, right, the same case. The one on the outside put a field or a fence around three sides, and the person in the middle went and fenced the four side on his own. Megaglin Olav as Hakol. Now he showed that he likes having this fence around him, and he, by putting that fourth one in, so there we make him chayiv to share equal in all the expenses. So Gemara wants to bring a raya that the only reason is chayiv is taima the gadol nikah. He's only chayiv because he went and put that fourth fence in. Ha makiv pater. But if the makiv, the one around him, had put all four sides himself, he'd be pater. Shema mina, learn from this that zen nenev zel el chaser pater, that the one in the middle is pater. So the Gemara says that's no raya either. Shani Hasan Dharmali Didi Sagli Nitiya Barzusa. I didn't need a fancy stone fence. I could have put in a regular fence, a cheaper fence. But at any rate, from this Gemara we see that if not for that taina, we would say that the person in the middle is not allowed to benefit from the efforts of the person on the outside. So the Shoel asks the note of Yehuda in defense of Reuven these two proofs that if you have benefit from another person's efforts, you have to pay. First of all, we see that they had a share in the cost. The person on the bottom has to share in the cost of fixing the stream, even though the stream, the person on top needs to fix the stream for his own purposes. And second of all, we see when the outside person fences in the inside person has to pay if, under certain circumstances at least, but we see that he has to pay if he had benefit from that outside fence. Those are the two tainas of the Shoah. So the Nodi Yehuda answers the first raya easily. The first one he dismisses easily. The case over there was that the stream is broken, all five people need the stream. The halacha over there is all five people need a stream, so yeah, all five of you go chip in together to fix it, right? That's lechachila, to fix it you all need it. But the Nodi Yehuda says, what would happen if Reuven, the one on top, on his own fixed the stream? He fixed it because he needed it, and now he goes to the people down the downstream and says, look, I fixed it, I want money from you. So in that case, the Nodi Yehuda says, we can say Zen Nenim Zelo Chaser. You fix the stream on your own for your benefit. You don't lose a penny from us using the water downstream. So in that case, you can't make any claim on us. So he says the same thing over here. If Reuven had any claim in the beginning, so then you could start talking before you start printing, Shimon. I'm telling you, I don't want you to do it. Maybe then there'd be something to talk about. But over here, after the Reuven's printing's already done, and now Shimon printed his Sfarim already. If Shimon had already printed his Sfarim, so you don't have any proof from this case of the stream that he can get his money. Because once again, the case of the stream was they're all chipping in to fix the stream. So all five had to chip in. But if it was already done, Shimon, Reuven's was already done, and Shimon now printed his Sfarim afterwards. What? I the Gemara's lashon is niskalkel hamayon kula misaknus im ha'al yona. They all fix it with the upper one. It doesn't say if the upper one fixed it, he can go make a claim from them. Right? The note of Yehuda goes even further. He says if this top one wants to be smart, he can threaten the ones downstream and say, I'm plugging up the stream. This is my stream. I'm plugging it up. Unless you pay me money not to plug it up, I'll give you a good deal. And if not, I will plug it up. So that's the first Gemara.
And that would have been permitted?
The Rebbe Yehuda says it would be permitted. It's a chiddush. We'll see why soon. Why should it not be permitted? What happened to Kofin al Midas Sodom? Midas Sodom. What happened to that, right? So that we have to see. Why isn't it Kofin al Midas Sodom? Why isn't it? The Rebbe Yehuda brings two reasons. First, he brings this Gemara at the bottom of the handout. On the first side, from Baba Basra, your days on the days. It was the case that there were someone had bought, there was a family, a father with children, with sons, and one of the children brought a property next door to his father's property. And then the father died, and they were dividing the father's properties. So the one with the property next door said, look, let me take the one next to mine, so I'll have two fields together, and you can share the others in equal distribution, but let me have the one that's closest to mine so I can have the benefit. You don't lose anything, and I get that gain. So the Gemara's maskana is, Rav Yosef says, the brothers could tell him, look, we have rights to have a regular lottery. That's the way they divided the fields. We have a right to a lottery. If we won that field next to our father, if we won the field that's next to yours, right? If I won the field next to yours, I could charge you a lot of money to trade. So I have rights. I have certain rights to something that you're willing to pay me a lot of money for. I'm not mechuyev to give up those rights for your benefit. It's not zen nenev zelochas. I'm losing something because I have the right to demand a lottery here, and I might win. And if I win, I can get money from you. So the Nodi Yehuda says, same thing over here also. I have this spring in my field that I spent money to dig and to fix that it should work for my field, and you're now benefiting from that, and in fact, you dug a new ditch to get it into your property. I did effort over here, so I can stop you from taking advantage of my money that I spent, my time that I spent, by forcing you to pay me for it.
How is that different than any
Well, the typical case. The typical case of the person living in my vacant house.
Right. Right. I could charge you rent.
Then you could decide how you don't want to live there. Right? There's a lot of vacant places around. But if you're next door to this area and I have rights to get it...
But you're already living there, so he says I can charge you rent because...
It's too late. It's too late afterwards. After you, we're talking lechachila to stop. I can stop you from coming in. Right? You could stop him coming in that case also. But over here, there's a special reason to stop him. The special reason to stop him is because I have rights to. You know, I have you over the barrel because you're right next door to me. In the case of the Baba Basra, you're right next door to me, and I have rights to get that field next door to next. You know, you're right. I'm saying I have rights to get that field right next door to you. I don't have to give up those rights. And in this case also, I have the stream in my field. I could have forced you to help me repair it because you need it also. I chose to repair it myself. I can now decide to say, look, I'm going to cut you off unless you help pay for the repairs. But that's also only good before it starts, before it happens. The second taina, he says, is based on a Tosfos. Tosfos says that this whole svara in Baba Kama, that whether Zenen of Zilachos or Spartus, is only after the fact. But if I have an empty bedroom in my house, you can't knock on the door and say, I need a place to stay tonight. It's not going to cost you anything because you have an empty room anyway and I need it. And, right? I can say, I don't want you in my house. Right? Zenen of Zilachos is only after the fact. But the Chachila, to allow you to force me to let you in, the Chachila, that I don't have to do. That's going too far. Right, so the Note of Yehuda said, if Reuven had told Shimon before he started doing anything, I prohibit you from taking advantage of my plates, why is my plates, we'll talk about, I prohibit you from using my plates, my effort, he would have a good case, because even though Zenen and Zelo Chaser is Pata, that's only after the fact, but L'Chachila, I can stop you from going in, certainly in a case where I have good rights over here. And that's the way the Rama brings it. The Rama brings it that it's a potential cost because I could get a customer. The Note of Yehuda says, you don't have to say that. You can say that it's because of this halacha that we're saying, that the halacha Baba Basa, that look, I can make money off of this and you want to stay here, so I want to charge you for it. Right? That's the way the Note of Yehuda puts it. There are those who disagree, but that's what he said. I'll tell you the contemporary case, okay? And this is the one case I thought of. I couldn't think of too many cases, but this is one I thought of. And that is, you hire a caterer to cater your affair, and you say you want enough chopped liver to feed your 200 guests. So he says, okay, that's going to be $200. And then you say you want them molded like tefillin, because it's a bar mitzvah. And he says, okay, that's going to cost another $100. That's a lot of labor. Okay, and he does that. And no one wanted to eat them. They look so nice. Right, so they have all these chopped liver, tefillin chopped liver left over. And I think the minig is, I don't know if any caterers here, I think the minig is that the caterers hold that they get the extra food. Right, it's not that, because you're hiring a caterer to feed your 200 people. If there's extra food, it's the caterer's food. That's the way they make the cheshbon. But we are going to guarantee enough food for your 200 plates. But it's our food, and whatever's left, we take. I said if they win the $1 million on the soda cap, I think they win it. The caterer gets it, I think, because if any soda, the caterer takes back. Right? I think that's the normal way it works. So in this case, the caterer owns the chopped liver. But I spent the extra $100 to make it into the model tefillin, and they're going to use it tomorrow on the next tomorrow's night's affair, and someone's going to get a benefit from my $100 for my work. Either the caterer will be able to charge more, or the people there will get a free bonus of chopped liver tefillin. Right? So that's, I think, a contemporary case. So if I say the chadchila, I don't want you using my tefillin, then I think the Note of Yehuda is saying clearly he could stop you. If it's after the fact already, I found out the next night, oh, that was beautiful tefillin, chopped liver, and you find out it was yours. And so you want to get money from them. So on that, the Note of Yehuda is saying we don't have any precedent here, because the case of the stream was they went together to fix the stream. And we have precedent the other way, that l'chachila, I can force you, but afterwards I don't see any. How about after the fact? Is there any taina after the fact? So the note of Yehuda said, look, we had this case in Bava Kama. The person went around and fenced three sides. And we said that if I went and fenced the fourth side, I'm chayiv. If the Rabbi Yossi said that if the outside person fenced the fourth side, I'm patur. Because then none of Zelo Chaser is patur. So Tosas asked Akasha. Tosas asked, what's the difference if I fence the fourth side or the other person fences the fourth side? If when he fenced all four sides, I'm patur, because then Zenan Azalachas, he did it for his own good, and I'm allowed to have benefit, the resultant benefit. So if he only did three sides and I did the fourth, that should make it worse. So Tosas answers Pashit, yeah, because if I go and fence the fourth side, I show that I like what he did, and I see that I'm willing to, not only that I like what he did, that I'm willing to pay money to have this done. So since I'm willing to pay money to have this bent around me, so I have to share in the cost of the other three sides. Even though I could have done it cheaper, I would have done it cheaper maybe, but the fact that I put a fourth stone wall on, and that's the quality that I used, and I might not have spent the money for all of them, but that Tosu says, once I'm a galadas, that I want to spend money, so then I have to pay for all the hanoah I get. So the note of Yehuda said, over here, maybe that's a good way for Reuven to win the case, because Shimon had to spend money. Shimon didn't just take the place and all of a sudden a new shas appeared. Shimon had to go to the printer and to maybe it cost some money to take off Reuven's letters from the bottom, his pirish. Shimon had to spend money. So the fact that Shimon spent money should make him chayiv to pay Reuven for the benefit, because he shows, he's megala das, that he was happy with Reuven's work. So the Rebbe Yehuda said, it's no right from there either. Because Tosfos is talking, in the case of the Gemara, where the outer person is telling the inner person, you made me make a bigger area for you. So even though we don't hold like the Chachamim, that's called a chaser, but Rabbi Yossi agrees that to make the inner person chayiv, he needs two things. He needs, first of all, to be megala das, that he's happy with the efforts of the outer person, by the fact that he puts in that fourth fence, and you also need the fact that it caused some loss to the outer person, and here it did cause some loss. He had to put an extra fence in. So the note of Yehuda said, that would not be enough to make, that would not be a raya to make Shimon chayiv to pay Reuven, because even though Shimon spent money, but he didn't cost Reuven a penny. Reuven got his 1,000 shasin, and there's nothing else that he can claim from him. That's what Tosfos says. So things looked pretty bad for Reuven until the note of Yehuda came up with one last halacha about Zenan of Zelo Chaser. And that seems to be paskin by everyone. Simon Shin Samagimel Zion, the Shulchan says Yesh Omrim, based on a Tosfos, which is based on a Gemara. The Gemara says that in this case of the person living in someone else's house without invitations, which wasn't going to be rented out anyway, but if he blackened the walls, right, not a bichis har, when he blackened the walls it costs $10 to clean them up. If he blackened the walls, so that's a chisara now to the owner, and once there's any little chisara in Tosfos holds and the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you can claim, you can charge the full hana that the person got. Right? It's any chisara. It doesn't mean that, you know, you cost me $200 a week by living there, and that's why I want to charge $200 a week rent. No, you cost me $10. And because of that chisaron, I have the right to charge you $200, the hana that you received. Because there's a rule, zenen ev zelo chaser. It doesn't cost me anything, so I can't charge you for any benefit you got from me. But if it costs me anything, if it costs me any little bit, I have the right to charge you whatever I want. So the note of Yehuda says over here, Reuven has his 1,000 copies of Shas with his pirish. And he didn't sell them all yet. He has some left. Now Shimon comes with the Shas without the pirish, and of course he's going to charge less, because it's less paper, it's smaller a little bit. So Reuven could say, but you printing the Shas using my plates, you're causing me a loss. Not, of course, the whole cost of the $10,000 it cost to set up the shas to start with, but you're causing me some loss. It's going to be competition. Now, less people will buy mine. I might have to lower my prices. So you're causing me a loss. So because of that, the Nodi Yehuda Paskin at the end, that Shimon has to share with Reuven a proportional amount of the cost of the typesetting. In other words, if he printed the same amount, they do it 50-50. If he printed more or less, they would make it proportional. So that was his maskana. From reviewing the rules of Zenen of Zelachos that we've had, and this will come up in the future, we've seen that L'chachila, to stop you from having benefit from me, according to most poskim, you know, the Buddha holds that way, I can't stop. This Cheshuva brings it, L'maisa, that I can stop you, L'chachila, from coming into my house to get benefit from me for free. I can stop you, L'chachila, from using my plates, my chopped liver, tefillin, L'chachila, to, even though it doesn't cost me anything. If it costs me the little bit, the littlest amount, if it's the littlest chisaron, the walls got black, I'm going to lose a sale or two, that's a chisaron already. It's not zena nevzal l'chaser anymore. So there, even after the fact, I can stop you. If you're megala das, even if it doesn't cost me anything, but you show that you liked what I did, and even if because of that there was some peripheral disadvantage I had, I had to make the fence a little bigger, even though that's not called a chaser to start with, because Daniel was saying, it's not a real chisar, and it's just the way things are. But if you're megaladas along with that, that Tosu says also, I can charge you for that afterwards. And that, putting all those together, the Nodav Yehuda said, in this case, he did have to pay him. Now, the Achronim do ask, this kasha that's bothering you all, what rights does Reuven have to the plates? Reuven, once again, we're talking only in the case where Reuven was charged a certain amount for the plates. The Divrei Malkiel says it's like at the bottom of the handout. He says that it's like umdana, like I made a. It's like Mr. Haros was saying, like most times when you make a deal with someone, you say, I want exclusive rights to it. I didn't pay all that money, and who would have thought that you had so many letters that I even had to say it, that you're going to save it all and make a new shas out of it. It's like an umdana that I was not expecting you to use another shas with it. The contemporary person of Schwitz says that it's like schiris. I have some schiris. I have like a rental rights over it. I have some leasing rights over those plates. It's your letters, but when I hired you to make them, I have like leasing rights to it. Then another contemporary person, Mishpatach Yaakov, he says, you see from here that not only do you say Zen Enev Zelo Chaser from something that you own, you also say it on something that you worked on. So you did work on it, and our whole sugya is based on the work. So we'll go with these svaras more in the next time to see how that affects copyright and trademark. I would certainly say that if you went to an advertising person and you say, here's my mailing list, and I want you to create a mailer for these people, and so he has hold of your list and he's mailing them out, and he says, oh look, after he's finished, okay, I have all these names on my computer, I'll use it for my own use. So that's a kolshkein will be also from the Nodav Yehuda, because over here there could be that this is my creativity, could be my trade secrets that you're taking from me. That we'll talk about in the future, because that's something that I might have more rights to than the plates, right? This is my mailing list that I spent time with. I was thinking another case might be another Kolshkin case. Suppose I thought of a way to design a cheap way of making a mikvah, and I hire the contractor and I tell him this is the way to do it, and he does it for me and with that price, and then I spend money to work this out, and then he goes, oh, now I have this thing, I'll go to all the different places around the town, around the country, and use this person's efforts and money to go to the other places. So certainly I think that also be a cost game for the Nova Yuda. Well, there it might not cost me anything. If other people have mikvahs, it won't cost me anything unless it's going to impinge on my income, maybe. But so in that way, you wouldn't be a kol shekein. But certainly, to stop in the chachila, I would have that right. But tonight, we were talking about this chiddush of the note of yud. It was talking where there wasn't real trading secrets here. I don't think that could be called. It was just the fact that I hired someone. I hired you. I hired workers to do a certain action. I can, even if I didn't initially say I have exclusive rights to it, before you start doing it, I certainly have the right to demand that you not use it for other people, because even though it's zenen is a lechaser, I can prevent you from using it. And even after the fact, if it causes me the least amount of financial loss or aggravation or something, so then I have the right to claim, not full claim, but to say that you have to share in the cost of making it.